is the highlight of your week, whether you know it or not. I just told you. Hallelujah. And I speak truth and no lie. Praise God. So let's go to Mark chapter 6 this morning. He is so faithful to us. Amen. Loves us so much. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 6. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you so much. We are just in awe of you. Father, I just adore you and love you with everything that I am. Father, I'm so thankful and so grateful for your love and your kindness, your mercy. Father, you sent us your word so we could be blessed. Oh, how grateful and thankful we are. It is the GPS to our life. Father, it takes us to all the wonderful places that you have for us. Father, like healing and prosperity and peace and joy and victory. So, Father, we love you this morning. Thank you. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And, Father, I thank you bullseyes will be hit and will be changed this morning. And we'll go to a new level of glory. And we thank you, Father, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Mark chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "went from there and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From where does this man have these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah? And Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?' And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house.'" Now notice this. "And he could," not didn't want to, "he could there do no mighty work, except or save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." So, leave verse 5 up there if you wouldn't mind. The Bible says, if people say, "Can God do anything he wants?" I guess he can. Because God always wants to heal. God always wants to do mighty works. God always wants to bless. God always wants to save. God always wants to deliver. God always wants to provide for. But here in this case, Jesus was limited in what he could do. In John chapter 2 and verse 23, you don't even have to pull that up, Josh. I'm just going to read that real quick. You have to understand, and this is just one place, but if you read through the Gospels, you'll know this to be the case, that the mighty works that he could not do in his own hometown, that was different than anywhere else he had gone. He was doing mighty works everywhere he went to. And what I'm trying to say is that the mighty works, and what are the mighty works that we're talking about? The mighty works we're talking about are all the deliverances, the demons being cast out of people, the divine healing, the provision, the supernatural provision that was happening in different places. And so mighty works was the common flow of the kingdom, and he couldn't do that in his own hometown. And look at John 2, verse 23 says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." So it was common for Jesus and commonplace to have mighty works. Praise God. But in his own hometown, he couldn't do those things. Pull up Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. So Jesus was doing mighty works and miracles and signs and wonders. And it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs." Notice this, the hands of the apostles. "Many signs and wonders were wrought among the people." Well, when you read the book of Acts, what are they talking about again? Supernatural deliverance, supernatural healings, moves of God like the earth has never seen before. was commonplace, not just in Jesus' ministry, but also in the apostles' ministry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, mighty works and miracle signs and wonders were the flow back then. This should not surprise us if we go to Mark 16 and verse 20. We're in the right place at the right time. We're just navigating some things before we take off here. Mark 16 and verse 20. This should not surprise us. Look what it says in verse 20. It says, and they went forth, who? His people. And they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. Aren't you glad he works with us? Oh, God, I don't know what I'd do. Man, oh, man. But notice this, confirming the word. Confirming the word. What's that mean? Making the word a reality in people's lives. Making the word so it's not just lip service. Making the word so it's the real deal. He says he went with them, confirming the word. But how did he confirm the word? With signs following. Amen. What are the signs that follow? The healings, the miracles, the deliverance. The supernatural aspect of a relationship with God. He said that's what he uses to confirm the word. I remember watching a TV show. This was years ago. I think it was that show. You ever heard that show, Wife Swap? Where like they swap for like a week and they go into like, they put these people in complete different atmospheres and they switch the moms and like it's just chaos and everything. But one lady, she was a super religious lady, and she went in there to these unbelieving people and just started spouting the Bible off to them. I mean, just like grandma used to do to me, beat me over the head with it to try to get it to stick, you know? All that did was knock me out. And then I couldn't listen to her because I was like, oh, I don't want to hear any of that. But anyways, and she's spouting it off. And she's telling them, you know, listen, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you die, you're going to hell and you don't want to go to hell and this and that. And these people are looking at her like, what in the world are you talking about? And the Spirit of God dealt with me as I was watching that. He said, I'll just paraphrase what he said. What separates, like what, for that person that's getting beat over the head with the Bible, what is it that's going to separate the Word of God and the things of Christianity and Jesus Christ from the other religions in the world? Because the other religions in the world, they can offer some good things as well and say some things, right? And the Spirit of God said this to me. He said, I'm trying to remember exactly how it was said, but I'm just going to paraphrase it so you get the gist of it. I never expected people to believe my word just on words alone. And see, that's what that woman was trying to do. Just believe the word because the Bible says you're going to hell. Well, I'll tell you what, that doesn't register with a whole lot of people a lot of times. And Jesus said, listen, I never expected you people just to hear that I died on the cross and rose again, and if you don't accept me, you go to hell. I never expected people to just believe that. I always wanted it to be followed with signs to prove it. Amen. And the difference that's going to set us apart from the other religions in the world, it's going to cause this place to explode and have to get a new building, is when people see the signs and wonders are real with the God that we believe in. Yeah. That's what's going to separate us from anywhere else, because our God is real. Right. Our God's a mighty working God, and he never expected you to go out without the signs and the wonders. And we're going to be teaching in the coming weeks, because I heard Pastor Nancy say this. I can't remember if she said it at dinner or if she said it from the pulpit. She said the way that, I think it was John Osteen, who is Joel Osteen's dad, who's passed away with Jesus now. Joel Osteen's the pastor of that big church in Texas there, the Lakewood Church. His daddy was a Holy Ghost minister. And he said, the way I grew my church is I taught the people to go out and cast devils out of people, to go out and deliver people, and that hooked people to the church. Amen. Signs and wonders. You want people to start believing in your life? Bring the signs and the wonders with you. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Now you say, I don't know, that seems like that would have passed away. Well, my Bible doesn't have an expiration date. In fact, it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, look what it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. So Jesus was the same when he was on the earth, it was signs and wonders. And then he commissioned his people to go out and do signs and wonders. Why are we any different than them? We're not. Somewhere along the lines in church history, I don't know what came into the church and sunk into the church, because When I see the early church, I see them on fire with signs and wonders. And then somewhere along the line, something's gotten watered down, and then I grew up in a church that doesn't teach you anything about signs and wonders. She grew up in a church that doesn't teach you anything about signs and wonders, that God's not real, and that you just go through this life the way it is, and when you get to heaven, you get to experience Him. But that's the problem with that is that's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. And the Bible says, and can we pull that up, Hebrews 13 and verse 8? It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. What was yesterday? Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders were the flow of what Jesus wanted yesterday. What's the flow today? Signs and wonders. What's the flow tomorrow? Signs and wonders. The only way, because if I'm, this is the way my analytical mind thinks at times. If I'm somebody that doesn't know Jesus, and you come yapping at me about the cross and stuff, and I don't know anything at all, I'm going to say, why are you right and not Muhammad? What makes you right and not Buddha? Well, the thing that's going to separate it is our God's real and shows up and does things for people. You lay hands on kids and they get healed. You people are getting blessed. Jobs are opened up. Miracles are happening. The love of God's being shown. That's the difference. Amen. Praise God. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. What is the number one thing? Now, don't say this out loud. You don't want to embarrass yourself. But I'm just going to ask you to answer it in your head. Not that saying the wrong answer would embarrass you, but you might not want to say it out loud. The one thing that Jesus is interested the most is the harvest. Seeing people be born again. That's the first and foremost reason why he died, was so that we could accept him and not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Well, let's just look at something concerning the harvest here this morning. We want this place filled, don't we? I want to force this place to go to 2 Sunday services, and then I want to force another property to open up. I'm just telling you, and it'll happen if we can get cooperation from everybody. When I say that we haven't even scratched the surface in this place, and yet we're in our third building in less than 6 years, I'm not just saying that because it sounds good and to just blow smoke at you. I'm telling you, we have not even scratched the surface of what God wants to do in this place. I'm telling you, stay tuned. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So there's a man that's been carried there every day who was crippled or lame from the day he was born, and they would set him there because he couldn't make a living, and he would beg for money, and people would go by the gate called Beautiful and give him money. Excuse me. Who, seeing Peter and John, not Jesus, Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked alms, or asked for money. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. And he gave heed unto them. Wow, I never saw that before. He actually paid attention. My God. I'll get to that a little later. I don't just mean paying attention in the service. I mean paying attention to who was in front of them. Gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. This man became an instant billboard for Jesus. I mean, a walking, talking billboard, leaping, jumping, carrying on, I'm healed. And no doubt people that were around there would see him every day begging. Now he's, wow, praising God. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Do you see what brings the people? They were wondering, how in the world did this happen? We know this guy couldn't walk from birth, and now he's walking, leaping, and praising God, and he's hanging out with you. We need to find out. Brought the people. Well, when it brought the people, Peter saw it in verse 12. He answered and said unto the people, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Well, for time's sake, I'm going to save us time, and you can read this another time. Peter went on and preached Jesus to them. Now listen to this. 5,000. Everybody say 5,000. 5,000. I mean, how many people are in Cattaraugus County? I don't know, but I know there's at least 5,000. How many people are in Chautauqua County? I don't know, but there's at least 5,000. 5,000 people got born again after this sermon. It's in there. 5,000 people got saved because of a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. The only reason they got born again was because of the miracle. Praise God. Miracles, signs, and wonders are still the flow for today. And the problem that Christianity is having is people are trying to give people Jesus in the way that Jesus was never meant to be given to people. They're giving them a powerless, weak, no life-changing type of Jesus. And why would you want that? What's any different than what people are already going through? But when you experience the real God who can reach his hand down from heaven and shift and change things and make your life different and set you on high, do things for you, do things for your kids, do things in your finances, do things in your body, do things out in the community, that's what's going to attract people. And if your heart is for people being born again like mine is, I mean, it is something that is such, I say burden. Burden sounds like a bad word. It's constantly weighing on me, salvation of people. I mean nonstop, because I know heaven and hell are real. There is a heaven to gain, but ladies and gentlemen, there is a hell to shun. It is a real place. Jesus talked about hell a whole lot. We don't like to in church because it's uncomfortable, but it's a real place that if people don't hear the message and people don't give their heart to Jesus, and a lot of people say, that seems closed-minded that you got to just go through Jesus. Why can't we? No, no, I don't look at it as closed-minded. I look at it as a sign of mercy that God made a way. It's not that he's the only way, but there was no way without him. And if you're interested in people being born again, and you're interested in the salvation, and you're interested in the harvest in this area, in your lives, and in your family, and your friends, you're going to be interested in miracles. Because miracles, signs, and wonders, you know what they are? They're the dinner bell to salvation. What's the dinner bell, right? When they ring the dinner bell, people come running for food. Well, when you ring the dinner bell of signs, wonders, and miracles, people will come running and get born again. Why? Because the world is searching for supernatural. Look at all the TV shows. Look at all the, I mean, we have a place not far down the road in Lilydale, right? They're just looking for some kind of supernatural. The world's craving it. We have the supernatural on the inside of us. Let's bring it to them. Let's bring it to them. And I'll tell you what, as the world gets darker and darker out there, you do know that the Bible tells you that out there is going to get darker and darker and darker. Now, we don't have to tremble. We got God and we got Jesus and we have the victory. But it's going to get darker. And you know what? People are going to be searching more desperately than ever before. Let's give them somewhere they can rest. Let's give them somewhere they can come and find comfort and find hope, right? When the world says no, when the doctors say no, when the bank says no, let's give them an answer of yes, praise God. That God can supersede any of that stuff through signs, wonders, and miracles. So I want to talk about miracles today. Because when I think of a miracle, I think of like a tornado. That's what came to me, and so I looked this up, and it was interesting how it kind of paralleled a little bit. But a tornado comes and shows up in the natural, and it completely changes the natural. Right? It just comes in and changes the natural. That's what a miracle does. It sweeps in, and it changes the natural. Well, the same way that there needs to be a certain atmosphere for a tornado, there needs to be a certain atmosphere to create miracles. Religious thinking will tell you, well, when God wants to do a miracle, he'll do a miracle. God is always wanting to do miracles. God is always wanting to do signs and wonders. Why? He knows that's what's going to turn people on to him. Yeah. He knows that's what's going to, you know, if you're trying to impress a girl, if you're a guy trying to go out, you know, you're not wearing something you know is going to turn them off. You're not stinking like something that's going to turn them off. Well, God's not going to do something and be for something that's going to turn people off. No, he's for what's going to turn people on to him. I'll tell you, ain't nothing going to turn people on more to God than signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise God. But there needs to be an atmosphere. Listen to this about tornadoes. For a tornado to happen, there has to be a certain atmospheric condition for that to happen. Now listen to what, I'm going to read this to you. You're going to think, What is your problem? Well, I don't know, but I think it just fits here. It's good to see that there's conditions for these things. Tornadoes form under a certain set of weather conditions in which three, notice three, because you're going to find out that for miracles to happen, there needs to be three things in the atmosphere if we're going to see them be commonplace. Tornadoes form under a certain set of weather conditions in which three very different types of air come together in a certain way. Number one, near the ground lies a layer of warm and humid air along with strong south winds. That's one condition. The second condition is that there needs to be colder air and strong west or southwest winds lie in the upper atmosphere. And then the third thing is there needs to be a third layer of hot, dry air that becomes established between the warm, moist air at low levels and the cool, dry air aloft. When that happens, the atmosphere is ripe and ready for a tornado to happen. Now, are you ready to find out what it will take to see what God needs from us to make miracles, signs, and wonders commonplace? Amen. Because if you, I'm just going to tell you right now, you might want to find a new church. If you're looking for old-time religion, if you're looking for just traditions and things that keep your flesh comfortable, you might want to find a different church, because I'm looking for a Book of Acts type of church in South Dayton. Amen. Where miracles happen, where a shadow can walk by a person and heal them. That's what happened in the book of Acts, where someone could take a cloth and lay hands on the cloth, take it to a sick person and put it on them, and their body's healed. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. Where we have meetings and prayer meetings where the tangible presence of God comes in like an earthquake, where things shake, where mighty winds rush in, where we feel the presence. That's what happened in the book of Acts. But they had the right atmosphere to make that happen. So are you ready? Go back to Mark 6, because that's where we find it. Because remember, in Mark chapter 6, it says he could not do a mighty work there. But notice, everywhere else he went, he was able to do it. Let's make South Dayton a breeding ground of signs and wonders. And you're going to find out you have such a part to play in this. Mark chapter 6, we saw verse 1 through 6. He could do there no mighty work, but yet other places he was. The first thing you need in the atmosphere for miracles is God. Amen. You need God. Why? God is the funder of miracles. He's the source. He's the supply of the power. He's the supply of the grace. He's the supply of the supernatural that's needed. God is always ready. He's always ready for signs, wonders, and miracles. He told us in his word that I want to confirm my word with signs. He told us, go preach the word, but with the word, I'm going to accompany it with signs and wonders, telling us that he's always ready for signs and wonders. So the first atmospheric condition for a miracle is God. We got that taken care of. Amen. Now, the second atmospheric spiritual condition needed for miracles, signs, and wonders to be commonplace in our midst. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, man, I sure thought he was going to talk about my finances. I am talking about your finances. You say, I thought he was going to talk about my body. Listen, when we start getting signs and wonders, everything gets fixed. Amen. Everything gets fixed. Nothing, all the crooked ways made straight. All the darkness turned into light. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow, the second atmospheric condition we see in Mark chapter 6 is that, yes, God, and we see that in Acts chapter 5, it says, by the hands of the apostles, there needs to be a vessel to flow those through. There needs to be a vessel that God flows the signs and wonders through. He did it through Jesus. He did it through the apostles' hands, right? There needs to be vessels to flow those through. Well, maybe some of you know where I'm going. But this past Tuesday night, this church had quite a remarkable thing happen to it. At the Pastor Nancy meetings, you say, well, that had to do with you. No, that had to do with us. And I'm going to show you. We have the clip in a second here. We're going to pull that up. But on Tuesday night, and I'll explain more about it after, Pastor Nancy, at the end of the service, and you'll see this, she was praying in the Spirit and sensed that there was something more to do. And there's hundreds of people at the church this night. And you'll see a minister, Reverend Joel Siegel, out of Colorado, travels. We've read a few of his books here. He's served under Brother Hagin, mighty man of God. We're going to just play it and then I'll explain some things after. So if you guys want to bring that up, we're going to watch TV at church. You turn the lights off and turn it up, please.
We worship you, Father. It seems to me, I don't know, there's something more we need to do. There's something more we need to do. Hallelujah. Brother Joe, you got something, go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It was a couple of weeks ago, I was in a service. After the service, the Spirit was just on us so hard. I don't know if you know what I mean by that,
yeah.
But I was sitting there just for about half an hour and was not able to drive home after the service, so I had to have somebody drive me. While I was driving, I had what Brother Hagin used to call a mini vision,
mm-hmm.
And I saw myself and another individual from this area, and I spoke something to them, and I saw that take place. And so I'm going to be up in this area next month, and I thought, well, maybe I'll look that person up and say that. But the Spirit dealt with me. No, come here to this meeting to say what I saw.
Mm.
And so we got a ticket and came here and do that. And so I want to do that if that's okay. It
Good.
Seems like the right time.
Absolutely.
And I want to minister to you, Pastor Mike Anderson, and your wife can come too. And so appreciate your ministry. There's a dimension that the Lord's going to add to you this evening, to your ministry. And one of the ministry gifts that we see talked about in the Bible, you know, we know the fivefold, but then there's over in 1 Corinthians 12, you have it said a little differently. One of the things is miracles. Miracles. And so what I heard and saw myself do, I'm just going to repeat exactly what I saw in that little vision, and that was this. You've been known as Pastor Mike, but more than Pastor Mike, you're going to be known as Miracle Mike. And if I could ask the elders that, you know, that are, you know, Pastor Michael, if you don't mind, Pastor Nancy, because we're going to, there's an endowment.
Hallelujah.
So that happened. Praise God. Thank you. You guys are doing an awesome job back there. They had to learn a whole new everything. I just so appreciate you. So that happened Tuesday night. And that was quite amazing. And then they laid hands on me. And I got the privilege of being at the dinners afterwards and sitting at the table with Pastor Nancy and Reverend Joel. And Reverend Joel sitting next to me. And he was further explaining, said, you know, it was just on me so strong, and he said it up there, but it more confirmed it. He's just when he went further in, he said, I bought a ticket to come to these services specifically to do that. Now, he told me as he was saying, I didn't know if I was going to get to share it with you because it's not his meeting. He can't request to say stuff unless the Spirit of God. Well, at the end of that meeting, Pastor Nancy was picking up that there's more to do, and Reverend Joel then got the opportunity to minister that, but he bought a plane ticket just to come minister that. How special is the South Dayton Church? I'm serious. Like, when things get ministered to me, they're ministered to you. It's for all of us. And then he said this, and he said it that way in the video. He said, what the Spirit was emphasizing to me, this is incredible because of what it's going to mean for people. He said that you're known as Pastor Mike, but you're going to be more known. As the Miracle Mike, that's what sounds funny to say, right? I'll get my cape with the MM on the back of it. But we know it's God that does everything anyways. So for that to happen and to come to pass, we got to see some things. And I need to share this with you because God needs a vessel. Well, the vessel was just made ready. Right? And the amazing thing about what happened in that service that night that you need to understand is that's nothing new to me. You say, what do you mean that's nothing new to me? That's been on my heart for years and years and years. It has. I've known that through the gift of my life and things that are going to come are going to be signs and wonders, that God's going to do a mighty work. And I often wonder, I ask the Lord, I don't understand why you'd want to use me, and he'll say, that's exactly why I want to use you. And Pastor Nancy said this at dinner. She said, I don't understand people that say, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. She said, why would they say that? They'd have no idea. Why would they say that? And she said, the people that want it aren't big enough on the inside, but the people that don't want it, they're big enough on the inside. And the only thing I can say is I never wanted any of this. Never wanted to preach. Never wanted to be in front of people. I'm just so happy being in the back where nobody can see me. I'm just naturally an awkward individual. I mean, have a conversation with me one-on-one for 10 minutes. You'll know what I'm talking about. I'll say something dumb. I will. Especially if we're face-to-face and I have to look at y'all like, oh, I'm just telling you the truth. That's my personality. But through Jesus, he makes a way, right? Hallelujah. So my point is this, is that that has been on my heart for years that we were going to see some things in this church. That they were going to come through this ministry and through what God has put on my life, that we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, the good thing was we had a good turnout from our church that night, and Olean too. What that does is that publicly confirms some things for people to hear. Because a lot of times you get familiar with somebody. I'm with you every week. Wednesdays, Sundays, talk to you, help you, meet with you. And a lot of times that can become a familiar thing, and maybe the gift isn't so reverenced anymore, and that always puts a dwindling on what the gift can do. Look at Mark chapter 6 in verse 2. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to get to your part. So this first thing we need is God. God's always ready. The next thing we need is a vessel for miracles. Well, publicly in front of hundreds, it was mandated for this ministry to do that. It says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where does this man have these things? And what wisdom is given unto him that such mighty works are wrought by his hand? So they're asking, how is this happening with this guy? And then look what they did in verse 3. Is this not the carpenter? Isn't this the son of Mary? The brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? What were they saying? How is this so that these things are happening through this average, normal person? They totally bypassed the gift and the mandate on the man's life and just looked at the man. And what was the result? He could there do no mighty works. I know that that happened on that Tuesday night because of where we're going and because I can't get us to where we're going unless you're on board.
That's right. Amen.
You wait and see what God's going to do in this place. I mean, I'm telling you, I think people might have looked at me backwards when I was in the storefront saying, we're going to have a building. I think people might have looked at me backwards when I stood in that other sanctuary, the first service, and said, we'll have a different building than this. I don't know if people look at me backwards and think that we've arrived. We have not arrived. We're just starting on the runway to take off. We haven't even taken off yet. And it's going to be through these kind of things, but we'll never get there unless you're on board. And so, to go into the third point of what we need for signs, wonders, and miracles, which will affect your friends, which will affect your family, which will affect your coworkers, right? The third thing that's needed is the people need to be right.
Amen.
The people need to be right. Here in Mark chapter 6, God was ready. Jesus was ready. But notice this. This might come as a surprise, but I'm not as anointed as Jesus is. And yet he couldn't do a mighty work there. See that? Why? Because the people. The people, and one of the problems that people have to understand, and you have to understand what I'm saying, because if you take this the wrong way, you'll think there's arrogance, you'll think there's conceit and pride. Not at all. Paul said this. He said, I magnify my office. He said, the office I stand in, I magnify it because it's not me, it's the office. But what people have to understand and realize is when they took Jesus and said, he's just normal, he's just like us. They totally bypassed the gift and had no expectation of what was on the man's life. And so when that gets publicly displayed in front of hundreds in the way it was supernaturally arranged and put together about a guy in Colorado getting a word about me when there's hundreds of people in his life that are ministers, yet God gives him a vision about your pastor? That's supernatural. And he buys a plane ticket just to come say that? And Pastor Nancy has to pick that up, and then it's delivered, and a lot of the church is there. That is not for me to receive. That just already confirmed what was already in my heart. Yeah. The reason it was to publicly show you there is a gift and something special on your pastor's life.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, when dishonor starts to come in, and people just say, oh, you know, because I know people are going to disagree with what I say here because people are sweet and kind, but I'm just telling you the truth. There's not a whole lot magnificent going on up here, right? I mean, I'm not like coming in and, wah, doing, can't sing great, you know. I trip up over my words. Like, did God forget to keep growing me? Who, when they were 20-some years old, had gray hair? If you're in here with me, let's join a club together. But all my friends didn't. So, like, there's not a whole lot, but there's a gift on my life. And what that did was showed everybody that there's a gift there and that there's something for this church to walk into. And so we have to remember, keep that honor. What is the honor I'm talking about? They lost expectation in Jesus because he became normal to them. If I'm just normal to you, listen, I know I'm normal to a lot of people because when I talk to them and counsel them, it goes in one ear out the other. They don't understand the voice of God is speaking to them.
Yeah. Amen.
It's true. Oh, yeah, suggest things, say things. People just, oh, that's just your opinion. No, 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 I'm hearing from heaven, and I'm telling you what God is saying.
Amen.
But no, it just people will argue with me. People will justify things. Well, why? That's that lack of honor.
Yeah.
It's that lack of honor. You wouldn't do that with Jesus.
Right.
You'd say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, of course, sticking with the confines of the Bible and stuff, we're not talking about some crazy drink the Kool-Aid business. But when the dishonor comes where you come to service, we ought to be coming to service now saying, my God, did you see what was ministered to my pastor?
Yeah.
He's got a gift on his life. He's a vessel like Jesus was to flow through signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yeah.
Well, how would the expectation level raise? You'd come here thinking, what is going to happen today? Because if I went to a meeting where Jesus was, I would be thinking, what in the world are we going to see?
Yeah.
That's what I'd be thinking. Why? Because I know we can do it. I know he's got a mandate to do it, and I know God wants to do it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We'll never see it unless you recognize and say and have an expectation level like they did not have in Mark 6. They handcuffed the hands of God in their city, and people went without because of them, not because of God, not because of the vessel. Ladies and gentlemen, God will always be ready to do something here, and I will always be ready. The mandate has been given on my life, but also I have given my life for this. I am going to stick with the Word. I'm going to stick with the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to do my part, but you need to do your part.
Amen.
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 Go to Matthew chapter 5. We're almost done. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to see this. The world is hurting.
Yeah.
There's sick people. There's depressed people. There's broke people. There's broken down people. People's lives are shattered. God can fix it all.
Amen.
In a short period of time, too.
Praise God.
Man, oh man, oh man. What did I even say? Matthew 5 and verse 6. Would you say a miracle, sign, and wonder is a blessing?
Amen.
I would. Well, look at this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they shall be satisfied. If we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles, just like in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, which include miracles, which include healings, which include the power of God, which include all these gifts of the Spirit that are miraculous. The Bible says we have to crave them. The Bible says we have to desire them. The Bible says we have to want them.
Amen.
It's not enough that God wants it.
Right.
It wasn't in Mark 6. Of course God wanted to do something in Nazareth. It wasn't enough for Jesus. If there's any place that Jesus wanted to put on a show, where would it have been? His hometown. Any place that Jesus would want to go and show them what he's got would have been his hometown. And he couldn't. He was not because he wasn't ready. But we see the people weren't ready. They weren't hungry. They just, normal Jesus, just normal service. Well, then we'll just have, if that's the way you look at this place and what's on my life and stuff and what can happen here, that's what we'll have. We'll have normalcy. But I'm not looking for normalcy. I'm looking to actually be a part of a remnant in this world that actually believes the Bible, actually speaks the Word of God, actually believes in the book of Acts, and that signs, wonders, and miracles, and that our God is still alive as well as he's ever been and wanting to bless mankind. That's the church I'm raising up. So if you don't want to be a part of that church, go find some dead church, some stuffy church, where they're not teaching you about the power of God, where they're not telling you how to be healed, where they're stuck in a rut of their traditions and religion. And you just stay there, and you watch your life unravel while everybody else around you is going higher and higher and higher. Because that's what will happen. Because you will be a product of what you're being taught. You will be a product of what you're hearing week after week after week after week. And here, you're going to hear that God's good, that God's got power, that he wants to heal you, that he wants to pay your bills, that he wants to heal your kids. Oh, man. You got me all crazy this morning. What's the thermostat say? Still holding at 68. That's awesome. Praise God. I don't feel like it is. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. The Bible says we have to crave and desire it. So in closing, let me just say this. What does that look like? Well, number one, it starts with an expectation of when you show up. Being hungry, excited, as one minister said, putting your expectors on. Like, coming, what's God going to do today? Oh, I'm just on the edge of my spiritual seat, just excited. But also, hunger level is demonstrated in your talking with him. And what I mean by that is, I can't tell you how many times I walk through a store with Caleb or Abby, and they'll see something on a shelf. Oh, I want that. In and out of my ear. But if I go home and we're in the car and Caleb brings it up, in and out of my ear. But if then we get to the house, out of the car, says it in and out of my ear. And if he wakes up the next day and mentions that, starting to stick a little bit more.
Sure.
It's starting to hang on a little bit. And then throughout the day, he starts talking about it again. Well, I know, because there's a million things that he'll say, oh, I love that, I love that. We'll get in the car, I'll never hear anything about it. You parents know what I'm talking about. But then there's some things they'll see a commercial for or hear about or see in the store that they'll just constantly, constantly, constantly harp on that. Right? Praise God. Well, it's the same with God. Every time I've taught on the gifts of the Spirit, we've seen gifts of the Spirit operate. Why? Because when I teach about it, think about it. When you see a commercial on TV of something that maybe you didn't think you were hungry for, but there's that Dairy Queen Blizzard, oh, all of a sudden you are really mad that they closed down the Dairy Queen next to your house. Because that's what they did in my town, and I'm not happy about it. And I'm like, am I hungry enough to drive to Warren? Sometimes I am. And I do. I make that 20-minute drive. But what? You didn't even know you were hungry for it until you saw it. Right? Until you saw it. And so when I teach on them, people get stirred up about them, and they start desiring them, and we start seeing them. It's going to have to be an everyday thing where we are crying out to God. On our faces. It doesn't have to be on our faces, but there should be times of reverence. Father, send the rain. Send the Spirit of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Stretch forth your hand to heal. That signs and wonders would be done. Father, signs and wonders. You're the God of signs and wonders. We want signs and wonders. See, if we just do that one day and then months go by, that's like telling Caleb telling me, I want that toy, and he never brings it up again. Doesn't stick to me. Doesn't stick to me. Hallelujah. There's a place I want to go, and it's slipping my mind here. Where is it? Oh, right where I've turned. Luke 18, and we'll close. This is how we need to be with these things. Every day I'm crying out to him, Father, send the rain, the spiritual rain. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. In Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County, saturate every man, woman, and child. I'm crying out, Father, we need to see the signs, the wonders, and miracles, Book of Acts type things, healings, wonders, I mean miracles, Father. People are hurting. They need these things. And it's not going to happen. Jesus was hungry for it, and it didn't happen in Mark 6. But other places he went, God was ready, he was ready, and the people were ready. And he spoke a parable unto them at this end, Luke 18, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying there was a city, in a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because, notice this, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she wearies me. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him. What is he saying? Just like this woman got the attention of this judge, she kept banging on his door saying, do this for me. And finally he just said, I'm so tired of hearing it, I'm just going to do it. How much more who our God, who's not avoiding us, who wants to bless us, if we're banging down his door saying, Father, send the rain, signs and wonders and miracles. We saw it manifested in a public setting with other ministers and hundreds of other Christians that our pastor is meant to be a vessel for this thing, just like the apostles were, just like Jesus was. Signs, wonders, and miracles, Father. If we would all get on board with that, we will see the miraculous. We will see crazy things that you never even thought were possible. But it's all going to be determined on the hunger level of you. God is always prepared. Your pastor, I'm giving you my word, will always be hungry, always be prepared. But it's all up to you whether or not we see those things. I'm telling you, we're going to go as you go. People say, oh, no, you're in charge. It's just the way you go. No, that's not true. Actually, Dr. Dufresne said this, and it really stuck out to me. He said a lot of ministers should have on their tombstone, killed by the church. Wow. Because you see in the Bible, people don't pray for their man or woman of God, and bad things happen to them. You don't understand to be, that's why she said, why would people want that? You don't understand being in this office, the attacks that come from all sides. Well, I need everybody praying. James needed everybody praying. Paul needed everybody praying. Hallelujah. So I'm not just this catalyst for miracles unless we do it the Bible way. Let's make the atmospheric spiritual condition so ripe for miracles that it becomes like commonplace. Because if it's true that I'm going to be known more for Miracle Mike, if that's true, that's not just one miracle. That's going to be a continual like, hey, go to that guy when you need a miracle. Go to that church when you need a miracle. Well, that's not going to happen because I'm some amazing person. That's going to happen because God ordained it. I'm willing and you're willing to make it all happen too. Amen? So let's get hungry. Whatever you have to do, put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror when you brush your teeth. Put it in your car that you're going to cry out and ask God. Let's bug the heck out of him. Let's wear him down. Let's annoy him so much that he says, stop it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Here's the miracles.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the word. We will be hungry. We will honor what you've put before us. And Father, it is important for me to say this in the presence of people I love so much. Father, you already know that I am well aware that I am nothing without you. Father, I want you to know that I know that. That apart from you, Lord, I've made messes in my life. I've screwed things up. I've been a failure. I've not done anything very special in my life on my own. So, Father, anything that's been mandated on my life in this ministry, anything that you've put on my heart, anything good that comes and flows through me, Father, is only because of you. And I mean that, Father. I will not take any of the credit. I will not take any of the glory because without you, nothing is possible. Without the people, nothing is possible. And without me being willing, nothing is possible. So there's all sorts of people that have to do the right thing. So ultimately, we'll give you the praise. But Father, right now, we release our faith and we thank you for the miracles that we will see. Come on, folks, just thank him. Release your faith. Release your faith for the miracles. Release your faith for the signs and the wonders. Release your faith for the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, such great things await us. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, everything that's on my heart is going to come to pass. Everything that's on my heart for this church is going to come to pass. Everything that's on my heart personally, it will come to pass, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. This will be a church where the broken, where the hurting, where the sick, where the lame, where the depressed can come and receive blessings and miracles and signs and wonders. Oh, Father, hallelujah. We're going to make waves spiritually, Father. We thank you for it. We bless you. We glorify you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Jesus makes this all possible. It's only because of Jesus that we can see these things in our midst, that we can experience such peace and such joy and such blessing. It's only because of Jesus. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, the Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He wants to enter into your heart, but he's not like the SWAT team. He won't bust the door down. He needs somebody to open it and let him in. And you say, well, why would I want to do that? Well, number one, by doing so, the Bible says if you accept Jesus, and what I mean by accepting Jesus is if you believe that he died on the cross and rose again, that's accepting him. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he said that heaven will be yours, that you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Jesus is the ticket to heaven. Hallelujah. The other thing that will happen when you accept Jesus is the Bible says you'll become a child of God. And when you become a child of God, you've now become a child of the best dad that's ever been, the most powerful father that's ever been, the most loving, merciful, generous, kind-hearted, compassionate person that's ever been, Father God. So it does you good to accept him. Now, you might be here this morning and say, I don't know that I've accepted Jesus. See, because it's not enough to just go to church. Going to church doesn't get you into heaven. It's not enough that you're a good person. Praise God for you being a good person, but that doesn't get you into heaven. If you say, I've never gone to church, that can't keep you out. And if you say, I have not been a good person, that can't keep you out. The only thing that can stop you from becoming a child of God and receiving the wonderful benefits of heaven is if you choose to not receive Jesus, not to open the door and let him in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you come forward. I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But the Bible says you must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Religion will tell you a whole lot of different things, but the Bible says you got to call on Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you could say, Pastor, I do believe in the Lord. I do believe he died and rose again. I do believe, I do want to accept him. Well, then the last thing you need to do is just accept him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here? Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to have you come forward. I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, nobody's looking, heads are bowed. Would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. See, we're not going to embarrass anyone. Is there anybody else that's here that can say, Pastor, I don't believe I've ever received Jesus. If you've never raised your hand and you want to get included, is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus here this morning? Would you just lift your hand in there if you haven't raised your hand? I don't like to rush this. Sometimes people are shy. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here this morning? Father, I don't see any other hands, so I trust, Lord, that we are all born again and that we are all walking with you. But Father, we did have one hand. And Father, there might be other people in this service that were just shy to raise their hand. Or there might be somebody listening by live stream right now that needs to accept you, or listening by archives in the future. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. Now, if you raised your hand, you have one thing left to do. That's to accept Jesus. We're going to all pray a prayer, and the prayer is going to be an invitation inviting Jesus in. If you raised your hand, or if you should have, or if you're listening and you want to get in on this, pray this prayer after me. You won't be the only one saying anything. The whole church is going to pray with you. You're not going to have to think of the words to say. I'll lead you in the prayer. Your job is just to mean it with all your heart. The Bible says if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you raised your hand, or if you should have, along with everybody else in this church, repeat this after me. Dear Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross,
for my sin.
I believe
that you rose again
from the dead.
And I ask you
to come into my heart.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
You can look up here. Praise God. If you raised your hand, or if you know you should have, or if you're listening, the next step for you is to plant yourself, now listen to this, this is important, in a Bible-teaching church. Not a tradition church, not a click church where you're comfortable, a church that teaches you the Bible and shows you, praise God. You know what the church is like? Churches would be like, people say, I can go to heaven without church. Sure you can. But that's like saying, I'm going to grow up and never go to school. If that's what happens when people don't go to church. Because when you come to church, that's when you learn about all the wonderful things. Just like when you went to school, you learned how to write. You learned how to do math. You learned how to read. You learned things. That's what happens in church. So if you want to learn about what God has for you and learn how to access them and actually make the Bible reality, you have to plant in a Bible-teaching church. Once you do that, get faithful, start doing what the Word is being taught. We'll be that kind of church here. If you want to plant here, we'd love to have you here. But if not, make sure it's a Bible-teaching church. Amen? Let's just give them praise. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run, don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. Also, we will have our fellowship down in the old foyer entryway. So please just make your way out here to the left. We'll have coffee and cookies available for you there. Hope to see you there. You're dismissed. See you Wednesday night.